Here are all the John Lothian News daily updates from the week of September 11th, 2020. Enjoy.
This is John Lothian with the commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for September 8th, 2020. A couple of weeks back, I shared with the readers of the John Lothian newsletter a negative review that we received from our new effort to acquire feedback and testimonials for our website. I received a personal note yesterday that I wanted to share as it warmed my soul. The reader wrote, quote, "I just wanted to reach out and thank you for filling your newsletter not only with useful and interesting information, but with inspiration and encouragement. I respect how you are not afraid to step out publicly and espouse basic decent virtues like respect, patience, and persistence. I suspect that this may be even more difficult given your long-running and painful health issues. Few people are willing to speak of their faith as publicly as you are, but you always stop short of sounding, quote-unquote, preachy. You told us, the readers, that you and Robbie have been helping your church with their web outreach, and I just went to the site you sent and watched you read from Matthew. I have nothing specific to say except this. You're doing the right thing, the right way, and for the right reasons. Your words and sentiments are both noticed and appreciated," unquote. I've always said our readers are our best salespeople, and this reader is the salesperson of the month. Today we have a video from our MarketsWiki Education World of Opportunities series that is not from our July 22nd event. We are continuing to shoot and share presentations from industry leaders and executives with interesting stories to tell. Today we have one from Joe Schifano of Aventis Systems about spoofing. Schifano goes into detail to define spoofing and show examples. It is a bit longer than a normal MarketsWiki Education talk, 25 minutes, but if you are interested in learning about spoofing or concerned about it within your organization, it is a good watch and learn. Maggie Sklar of the Chicago Fed is kicking off the first Chicago Fed podcast series with a fireside chat with former CFTC Chair J. Christopher Giancarlo. She covers his tenure and markets 1 year out from the CFTC, CCPs, LIBOR, and reference rates, and of course virtual currencies and the digital dollar. Sklar worked for Giancarlo at the CFTC before joining the Chicago Federal Reserve. CBOE's Henry Schwartz, in partnership with the Options Industry Council, will present the State of the Options Industry on Tuesday, September 15th, 2020. Schwartz will share his analysis of an unprecedented year in the markets and insights on what the future holds. The CFTC is looking for a trial attorney for their Chicago office. Many firms are having employees work from home. Some employees are asking if they can work from other cities. This corporate decentralization raises the question, where should the corporate entity be headquartered and legally incorporated? For example, if the CME Group is going to have people work from home, including their homes in Florida, Wisconsin, Michigan, and other states besides Illinois, then where should the enterprise be headquartered or incorporated? The Federation of European Securities Exchanges, or FESE, is looking to recruit a policy advisor to work in the regulatory policy team of the organization. The position is based in Brussels and is a challenging opportunity for the right person. Here we go again. This time it is EEX who has enabled negative prices on its natural gas spot markets. The European Energy Exchange intends to enable negative prices on its natural gas spot markets as of October 1st, 2020, following a number of key price fluctuations which have taken place in the market over the recent months. Eleanor Jacobs has died at the age of 91. Who was she? She was the force behind the Earth Shoe phenomena. She and her husband found these quirky shoes on a trip to Copenhagen and signed a deal for the U.S. distribution rights. On Earth Day, when people were flocking to a parade, she made the decision to name them quote-unquote Earth Shoes. The hippies who initially bought them were supplanted by the masses as the shoes went on to become a global phenomenon. I had a pair of Earth Shoes during a time when I was growing 9 inches in 18 months as an adolescent. Needless to say, I had difficulty walking from the growth, and the shoes did not help, but I was stylish for the times. The great Lou Brock, a Hall of Fame baseball player, one-time Chicago Cub, and longtime St. Louis Cardinal, has passed away at the age of 81. In my youth, the trade of Lou Brock from the Cubs was often lamented for its stupidity. In other unusual stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter comes this. Matt Rabel of JLN shared this story. Chef Nomi, founder of the DeFi project Sushi Swap, has handed the project over to Sam Bankman-Fried, the CEO of FTX. It's interesting that this happened on September 6th, the day before this story broke. Chef Nomi publicly denied that they were leaving the project after converting a portion of sushi tokens allocated for developing the protocol into 37,400 ETH, worth about $13 million. When accused of quote-unquote exit scamming, that's cashing out and running off with investors' money, Nomi said, "I did not. I'm still here. I will continue to participate in the discussion. I will help with the technical part. I will help ensure we have a successful migration," unquote. Apparently, he changed his mind. Don't miss the video we have of Joe Schifano of Aventis talking about spoofing in a presentation for our MarketsWiki Education World of Opportunity series. Presentation was not from an event, but rather is part of our ongoing efforts to produce quality content for young people and others interested in careers in the markets. See the video on www.johnlothiannews.com. Crane Chicago Business has several stories about the impact of the pandemic on the Chicago real estate market. Their commentary from the editorial board of Chicago Crane starts with this headline. Here's the evidence in case you needed it. The downtown's been seriously damaged. Recent events have shaped the perception, fairly or unfairly, that downtown is no longer a safe place to live or work. And it's time for everyone, public officials, civic leaders, and business execs, to come to terms with that fact. Anecdotes are one thing. Data is better. We've heard the tales all summer that Chicago's downtown area has been damaged both literally and figuratively by the recent unrest as well as COVID. Now, thanks to reporting that's exclusive to Cranes, we have the figures to back up what until now has mostly felt like unsubstantiated dread. A second story from Cranes has the data the commentary referenced with the headline of "New figures show downtown is being drained of apartment dwellers. Suburban landlords, meanwhile, are faring surprisingly well." The Associated Press reports Pope Francis says gossip is quote-unquote plague worse than COVID. Pope Francis said Sunday that gossiping is a plague worse than COVID that is seeking to divide the Catholic Church. Francis strayed from his prepared text to double down on his frequent complaint about gossiping within church communities and even within the Vatican bureaucracy. Francis didn't give specifics during his weekly blessing, but went on at some length to say the devil is the, quote, biggest gossiper, unquote, who is seeking to divide the church with his lies. NBC has a story that dead chicks, delayed prescriptions, late mail leaves rural America disconnected. For people out here, the Postal Service is absolutely a lifeline, a West Virginia farmer said. When Jacob Gray opened the box of chicks he ordered, he saw that about 300 of them had been mashed to a pulp. The 100 or so birds that survived tread on their fellows and nibbled on what remained of them. Ben Smith of the New York Times reports that journalists aren't the enemy of the people, but we're not your friends. President Trump will try to put the media on the ballot, and reporters face the increasing temptation to posture for those most eager to oust him. The worst thing about being a reporter in the age of Donald Trump is, of course, the president's concerted attacks on the free press. The second worst thing is well-meaning readers who say things like, "Thank you for what you do." My comment about journalists and friendship, if you want a friend, get a dog. Also about the world of journalism comes this story from the New York Times. China freezes credentials for U.S. journalists at U.S. outlets, hinting at expulsions. CNN, The Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg News, and Getty Images are affected. Chinese officials told journalists who can still work that their fate depends on what the United States does to Chinese media employees. The Chinese government has stopped renewing press credentials for foreign journalists working for American news organizations in China and has implied it will proceed with expulsions if the Trump administration takes further action against Chinese media employees in the United States, according to six journalists and U.S. officials with knowledge of the events and statements on Monday by a Chinese foreign ministry spokesman. The actions and threats raise the stakes in the continuing cycles of retribution between Washington and Beijing over news media organizations. Those rounds of retaliation are a prominent element of a much broader downward spiral in U.S.-China relations, one that involves mutually hostile policies and actions over trade, technology, education, diplomatic missions, Taiwan, and military presence in Asia. Here are the top three red stories from Friday's editions of the John Lothian newsletter. The top story Friday was Balancing Challenges and Opportunities, Reflecting on Leading Through Crisis with WBC, a LinkedIn post by CME Group Chief Operating Officer Julie Holzrichter, highlighting a roundtable discussion of the Women Business Collaborative on Leading Through a Crisis. Second was Report, Trump Discouraged U.S. War Dead as quote-unquote losers and suckers, from the AP via Yahoo about a story first reported on The Atlantic. Third was Bloomberg Businessweek's America in Crisis, a closer look at a deeply polarized nation. MarketsWiki now has 187,472,514 pages viewed and 24,424 total pages on the site with 225,975 edits. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This is John Lothian with the commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for September 9th, 2020. The Futures Industry Association has released a surveillance and market abuse guideline report to assist market participants in fulfilling obligations set by the UK and European regulators in relation to surveillance and market abuse requirements. The CME Group launched an FX options volatility converter tool yesterday. This new service is the first ever tool to price CME Group's listed FX options liquidity in over-the-counter terms, helping foreign exchange traders to more easily monitor price relationships, make more informed decisions across markets, and ensure best execution for their trading strategies. The Chicago office of the Securities and Exchange Commission has launched its very own Twitter account, @Chicago_SEC. The Chicago office covers the states of Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Ohio, and Wisconsin. There's a television show that I never watched, that I don't want to name, that I did not keep up with, that is ending production next year. I can only say this is a sign of civilization returning. Washington Compliance Roundtable is hosting a webcast discussion with the National Futures Association on the best industry practices during COVID-19, new regulatory developments, including succession planning and intra-agency regulatory initiatives, as well as the most recent industry trends, and always to strengthen your legal and compliance programs. NFA speakers include Special Policy Advisor Dan Driscoll, Senior Vice President of Compliance Regina Thull, and Director of Compliance Christine Roche. The event is scheduled for September 17th, 2020, with the discussion going on from 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. and a question and answer and networking session from 5:30 to 6. You can RSVP at contact@wdccrt.org by September 14th to receive login information. Here's a story shared by Matt Rabel of JLN. This is from the New York Times. A CFTC task force has concluded that climate change is a threat to the U.S. financial markets, citing the cost of floods, droughts, and other natural disasters made worse by changing climate. These disasters affect the mortgage, pension fund, and insurance markets, as well as other financial institutions, the task force reported. Here's some more stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for today. In greater detail about the FIA market surveillance and abuse guidelines, the FIA today released new guidelines to assist market participants in fulfilling obligations set by European regulators and UK regulators in relation to surveillance and market abuse requirements. Quote, market abuse is a global concern, and global regulators should consider market participants to be the, quote, first line, unquote, of defense in identification and prevention of market abuse, unquote, said FIA's head of Europe, Bruce Savage. Quote, our goal is to help FIA members and other market participants meet their obligations under the market abuse regulation, unquote. My comment is, this must be part of the FIA's Be Good campaign. Here's more about the CME FX Volatility Converter. U.S. derivatives exchange CME Group has launched an FX options volatility tool in a bid to help traders monitor price relationship for better execution quality during volatility. The FX options volatility tool takes price data that is functionally equivalent to over-the-counter options and creates a volatility grid by tenor and deltas to provide a comparison. Matt Rabel commented, more tools for option traders is never a bad thing. More from the Financial Times. Cost risks of hosting Olympics similar to natural disasters, studies warn. Cities considering hosting the Olympics should compare the financial risk with models applied to natural disasters, pandemics, and war, a team of Oxford University researchers have warned. The study, Regression to the Tail, Why the Olympics Blow Up, accuses the International Olympics Committee of playing down what the researchers argue are unavoidable dangers of big cost overruns. The report suggests would-be host cities should temper their ambitions by assuming their budgets for the Games could rise threefold. There's nothing like planning for a natural disaster. From Josh King with ICE from his Inside the ICE House podcast series, he has Alistair Walton, Australia's man in New York, who mixes diplomacy with mateship. Despite a population and economy smaller than Texas, Australia has a Stetson-sized impact on U.S. business and culture. As his post as Consul General of Australia to New York winds down, Alistair Walton sat down for his exit interview. On the agenda, diplomacy amid pandemic and the special relationship between Australia and America. A banker whose journey took him from down under to the Big Apple, Alistair has shattered the mold of the civil servant. Here are the top three stories from the John Lothian newsletter from yesterday. The most read story Tuesday was, here's the evidence in case you needed it, that downtown's been seriously damaged from the editorial board of Crane Chicago Business. Second was another story from Cranes. New figures show downtown is being drained of apartment dwellers. Are you sensing any theme here? Third was a New York story by way of Denmark. Eleanor Jacobs, 91, dies. A force behind the Earth Shoe phenomena. I wore Earth Shoes back in the day, and I'm not sure I'm better for it, but God bless you, Eleanor. Here are the MarketsWiki stats for the day. MarketsWiki has had 187,570,551 pages viewed. It had a total of 24,424 pages for the second day in a row and has had 225,986 edits. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This is John Lothian with the commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for September 10th, 2020. Today's John Lothian newsletter starts with a story I wrote titled, David Downey Knows Security Futures Like No One Else. Here's the beginning of the story. David Downey does not suffer fools well. His statements are very direct and to the point, and he knows when he is right and is willing to point out where regulators and competitors are wrong. Downey is in the process of shutting down One Chicago, but his writings and comments about security futures will live on much longer and may yet change the world. A perfect example of this would be his letter to the CFTC from October 1, 2018, ostensibly about security futures position limits and position accountability, but really an opportunity for him to unload about how security futures are misunderstood by regulators. The comment was for the CFTC, but aimed at both the CFTC and the SEC. Downey took the One Chicago job after retiring from a career with Timber Hill and Interactive Brokers. He retired suddenly, as I've written before, for personal reasons that involved a tragic car accident that took the lives of two close friends. There is a great profile of Downey by Anthony Malakian in Waters Technology from 2011 that I recommend thoroughly. It was Thomas Petterfy who convinced Downey to take the One Chicago job, and Malakian says it happened all because of one sentence from Petterfy: no one thinks it can be done. To read the rest of the commentary, go to johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. ED&F Mann saw the abyss and walked back from it, getting a last-minute deal to extend their debt and inject some cash into their business. See more details from the FT story at the top in the lead section of the newsletter. The American Financial Exchange announced today a new Ameribor 30 product, which is a forward-looking Ameribor rate. Also, Alabama-based Service First Bank announced the first loan based on the Ameribor 30 for $20 million. It was yesterday in 1997 that the CME launched its E-mini S&P 500 futures contract. The CME also had some records on September 8th in the equity index quadrant in micro E-mini futures and options. 4.16 million futures contracts traded in a single day, a new record, and 26,000 contracts or more total of micro E-mini S&P 500 options traded. John McNamara and Daniel Day Robinson have started a new business in the UK called Trade Finance Rhino. You can see more information on their new website at www.tfrhino.com. Peak Six has a story on their website about Paul Whelan, who went from being an Indiana University Bloomington jazz piano student to data team lead. Organized online events, FIA Japan is officially supporting a FinCity Tokyo organized online event scheduled on 9/11 at 4 p.m. JST. Look for more information on johnlothiannews.com. ChartIQ is looking for a sales director in Chicago to sell their ChartIQ visualization tools and FinSymbol smart desktop. Sign up for BarChart's free virtual grain summit. The event features a concise agenda focused on the latest trends, analysis, and technology impacting the grain markets, and one panel each day. The event is on September 21st to 23rd at 2 p.m. Central Time. More details are on johnlothiannews.com. Other stories from Hits and Takes. Sarah Rudolph, editor-in-chief of GLN, shared this. On the heels of ICE's September 4th acquisition of Ellie Mae, the latter company announced that Ellie Mae Experience 2021, a technology conference for the residential mortgage industry, will be an online event held from March 8th to March 26th, 2021. Registration for the three-week-long event will open in October 2020. You can go there for more information and here on our website for more updates. Here's some other stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Bloomberg is reporting that Euronext is preparing a $4 billion bid for Borsa Italiana. It will be a joint bid with an Italian partner that will come as soon as this week. Deutsche Börse is also planning to make an offer for the Italian exchange. Euronext NV is preparing to submit a bid as soon as this week for Borsa Italiana SPA, together with an Italian state-owned lender, people with knowledge of the matter said. The offer is set to value the business, which is owned by London Stock Exchange Group PLC, at about 3.5 billion euros, or $4.1 billion, to 4 billion euros, according to the people. Euronext has agreed to a joint bid with Italy's Cassa Depositi e Prestiti SPA, which would get about an 8% stake in Euronext if the deal is successful, the people said, asking not to be identified because the information is private. The FT has a story titled, Why LIBOR's Demise Threatens Small Business Most. In death, as in life, LIBOR's demise is seldom discussed without mentioning that the rate underpins contracts worth hundreds of trillions of dollars. Yet, as efforts to ditch the interest rate benchmark intensify, are we missing out on where the true difficulties in dumping LIBOR lie? We think most of what those in the know dub tough legacy contracts, that is, contracts where an alternative to the London Interbank Borrowing Offered Rate, LIBOR, cannot be easily found, are in the cash markets. That makes up only about a fifth of total assets underpinned by LIBOR, with the balance derivatives. While the derivatives markets has its own challenges, its financial sophistication has meant it's in a far stronger position in preparing for transition. By focusing more on the overall size of the market, we're underestimating the massive implications the death of LIBOR will have on lending to businesses, especially smaller ones. The Wall Street Journal has a story, How Travel Will Change Post-Pandemic, 10 Expert Predictions. They ask industry pros where we will be traveling in years to come and how hotels, flights, airports, and even luggage will evolve for the better. The first one they say is, we'll rethink Europe. Expect a cooling of the romance with Europe's capitals and new affection for less crowded cities with strong cultural offerings. The FT has a story titled, QAnon has the makings of an America's Al-Qaeda. The U.S. faces great danger if Trump loses the election in November. Edward Luce of the FT writes, mention terrorism and most Americans will instantly think of Muslims. On Friday, the U.S. will commemorate the 19th anniversary of the September 11, 2001 terror attacks. In reality, America should nowadays be far more worried about domestic threats. Two-thirds of its terrorist incidents last year were carried out by right-wing extremists. That rose to 90% in the first 5 months of this year. The top three read stories from the John Lothian newsletter yesterday were, the first one was the Futures Industry Association press release, FIA releases surveillance and market abuse guidelines. Second was a repeat from Tuesday's top three, the Crane Chicago, here's the evidence in case you needed it, that the downtown's been seriously damaged. Third was JP Morgan says staff and customers may have broken the law on COVID-19 loans from the Financial Times. MarketsWiki now has 187,650,746 pages viewed, with 24,424 total pages on the site with 225,987 edits. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way that you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This is John Lothian with the commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for September 11th, 2020. Today, John Lothian News announced the launch of a new MarketsWiki education video series named The Path to Electronic Trading. The new series will capture the stories of the move from trading on the floors to trading on the screen. Here is the announcement. John J. Lothian & Company, Inc. and John Lothian News are pleased to announce the launch of a new MarketsWiki education video series, The Path to Electronic Trading. The Path to Electronic Trading was inspired by the success of the Open Outcry Traders History Project. Jerry Corcoran, the CEO of R.J. O'Brien, came to JLN to tell his story of how his one day of working on the trading floor helped create the path to electronic trading, as RJO and other firms applied technology to improve the efficiency of the futures trading pit, busting at the seams with paper orders. His story inspired us to develop this series that will capture the individual stories of people and firms that embraced technology and created the evolutionary path from the shouting of orders on the trading floor to all forms of trading electronically of derivatives, securities, and other products. For the complete audio version of this announcement, go to johnlothiannews.com. The first video in the Path to Electronic Trading series is, of course, of Jerry Corcoran. Here is the accompanying commentary I wrote, or at least the beginning of it. Jerry Corcoran's one day of working on the CBOT trading floor started A Path to Electronic Trading by John Lothian. R.J. O'Brien CEO Jerry Corcoran spent just one day working on the trading floor during the drought of the summer of 1988. He was a new CFO for the brokerage firm, and it was an all-hands-on-deck day due to a severe drought that was causing huge volatility on the grain floor of the Chicago Board of Trade, where RJO had a lot of farmer hedging business. What Corcoran saw that day would forever impact RJO and the futures industry. Corcoran was appalled by the anachronistic process by which orders were received on the trading floor, run into the trading pit, reported back to the brokerage's trading desk after being recovered on the trash-filled floor of the exchange, and then ultimately reported back to the customers or their brokers. He saw that if RJO continued to use this process, there was no way it would grow its business, as more trading desk space was hard to come by. Instead, he knew RJO needed to apply some technology to the reporting of fills and ultimately to the routing of orders transmitted to the floor. The futures business in the 1980s had grown so much that the century-old proven processes of getting orders into and out of the trading pits needed to be much more efficient. For a complete audio version of this story, go to johnlothiannews.com. Here are the stories and comments from today's hits and takes section of the John Lothian newsletter. Today is 9/11. It is 19 years since the attacks on the U.S., on 9/11/2001. Never forget, never ever forget. 42 9/11 survivors have passed away from the COVID-19 virus, maybe more. Dr. Anthony Fauci said the U.S. needs to hunker down for the fall and winter. I am hunkering. I hope when I'm done hunkering, I will be a hunk. The reform broker, Joshua M. Brown, has a new podcast titled Why Markets Crash in the Fall. Bloomberg reports that suicides among U.S. kids and young adults jumped 57% in the last decade. Tom Lant posted a moving comment on Facebook about depression and suicide. I love Tom Lant. Show your love for everyone, as you don't know for whom that expression of love and compassion could mean the difference between life and death. Phil McIntosh of NASDAQ has a commentary titled, What Everyone Should Know About the Stock Market. Matt Rabel of JLN shared this today. On 9/11/2001, I was 10 years old. I remember waiting for the school bus the morning that the tragedy in New York happened, completely unaware of what was going on. I went through the whole school day not knowing. I didn't find out until I went home that day. Years later, I feel weird about it. I kind of wish someone had told us what was happening, even though we were kids. Tom Thompson had this to say about a new CFTC announcement. The CFTC did some light lifting yesterday when it published its Division of Enforcement's guidelines for evaluating compliance programs in connection with enforcement matters. The three-page memo provides a framework for division staff in considering whether the target of an enforcement action has a compliance program reasonably designed to prevent, detect, and remediate misconduct. Such factors are to be weighed when penalties are assessed by the division in an enforcement action. As the footnote 2 in the memo says, the 390 words of the guidelines are not binding on anyone but the division staff. Just for the record, the text of the CFTC's press release is 470 words. Suzanne Cosgrove reported this about the MEMEX exchange. The Members Exchange, or MEMEX, on Thursday announced its inaugural fee structure with no pricing tiers or charges for market data or connectivity. In a release, the exchange said members will pay 25 cents per 100 shares to remove liquidity. Those who add liquidity will be rebated 29 cents per 100 shares for displayed volume and 20 cents per 100 shares for non-displayed volume, with pricing subject to filing with the SEC. MEMEX plans to launch in 7 stock symbols, ACST, BB, ED, FB, GOOG, ICSH, and XOM on September 21st and begin trading all NMS symbols on September 29th. The complete fee schedule for MEMEX launch can be found on their website, MEX.com. Here's some other stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Bloomberg has a story about Milton Friedman titled Revisiting Milton Friedman's Critique on Stakeholderism. The Nobel laureate economist argued that CEOs and boards should focus on maximizing shareholder value, not stakeholder value. Exactly 50 years ago, economist Milton Friedman argued that corporate boards should focus on maximizing shareholder value and not get wrapped up in trying to achieve other objectives. The conventional wisdom in boardrooms today seems to be that Friedman was wrong. In fact, though, a whole lot of what he wrote was spot on. Sadly, the current emphasis on stakeholder value is one part enlightenment, one part public relations, and one part an attempt by corporate directors to get a freer hand to run companies as they personally see fit. A second story about Milton Friedman, this one from the New York Times, is titled A Free Market Manifesto That Changed the World, Reconsidered. Milton Friedman's libertarian economics influenced presidents and inspired, quote, greed is good, unquote. So what did Friedman get right and wrong? Today's business leader and economist weigh in. The commentary is by Andrew Ross Sorkin. September 13th is the 50th anniversary of a seminal moment in the world of business, the publication of Milton Friedman's essay in the New York Times Magazine entitled "The Social Responsibility of Business is to Increase Its Profits." CNN has a story titled "A New Front in Coronavirus Disinformation, Wall Street Research." Coronavirus misinformation is infecting the unlikeliest of places, Wall Street Research, that investors rely on in the financial markets. In an early August note to clients, an analyst at a research firm called Fundstrat Global Advisors, which distributes widely read reports and analysis to investors, cited a series of tweets by an ophthalmologist named James Todaro, who painted a rosy picture of the population's potential for developing herd immunity to the coronavirus. The crypto markets wiki coin of the week is XRP. XRP, a digital asset created by Ripple, has been and continues to be used in multiple giveaway scams based on YouTube. The scams involve users creating videos that use Ripple's logo and the likeness of its CEO, Brad Garlinghouse. Ripple sued the video platform in April, alleging the platform's, quote, willful blindness, unquote, to such scams led to their proliferation on YouTube. YouTube filed a motion in July to dismiss the allegations, which Ripple recently contested. Here are the top three most read stories from yesterday's edition of JLN. Our top red story Thursday was the Financial Times EDF man agrees debt restructuring in 11th hour rescue. Second was my commentary on David Downey's colorful 2018 letter to the CFTC. David Downey knows security futures like no one else. Third was the Wall Street Journal's How Travel Will Change Post-Pandemic, 10 Expert Predictions. Even luggage might change. Here are the Markets Wiki statistics for the day. The site has a total of 187,725,259 pages viewed, with 24,406 total pages and 226,001 edits. Have a great weekend and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.